Tasty, flavorful coffee comes from thriving farms. However, long-held industry standards leave most farmers scraping by, severely limiting their ability to grow quality coffee. But together, we can change that. Our direct-from-farm sourcing eliminates the many layers usually found between the farmer and you. This results in prosperous farms with the capacity to grow exceptional coffee. And great coffee is what makes all our days brighter. We invite you to be a part of a coffee movement where everyone is lifted. Joe Bean, coffee that lifts everyone.
Live from Rochester, this is Plants of Beats.
Dropped out of school when I was 16, stopped going when I was 15.
Dropped out of high school?
Yeah. Yeah, I stopped going to school when I was 15, and that's not legal in the state of New York.
Wow.
So
okay.
You got to go through a whole court process and all that stuff, and basically on probation and stuff. So,
really?
Yeah. So I ended up going to like a GED prep program.
Why'd you drop out of school?
Money. I didn't like authority. I didn't like, yeah. I just like, if you want me to sit here for 8 hours a day, like pay me for it. So, yeah.
Was your, I don't want to assume what your home situation was, but was it, did you grow up with your parents?
Or? Yeah, but it was more like freedom based.
Okay.
So like they worked all the time. So it was just like, all right, just be home, make sure you're good.
So they were okay with it?
Yeah. Yeah. Come home for dinner, come home, you know, for bed.
Wow.
Go to school. And then after a while, it was just like, well, if he's not going to go to school, like we can't force him. So,
whoa.
Yeah.
So I
ended up doing the GED prep program when I was 15. Okay. So when I turned 16, I got my GED and started working full time right away.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been working ever since.
Until I got injured for the last time and have been fighting the Social Security Administration for almost 5 years now.
Yeah, so you got a couple of interesting things to talk about.
Yeah, there's too many. There's a lot of stories.
But I'm fascinated by that. Like, so you had to go. You said you legally can't drop out at 15. You have to be 16 to do
it. In New York State.
In New York State.
But New York State, you have to be 16 years old.
So did your parents have to, like, go sign something?
Yeah, at 16 years old with parent consent.
Oh.
Yeah, I think. Yeah. It might be more. It might be different without parent consent.
What was that first job that you did?
It's literally the only career I ever worked. I worked the ice rink industry, Zambonis and ice, like, hockey teams. And, yeah, I was the ice guy for many years.
So you went into the Zamboni, because I was going to bring up the Zamboni thing. You went into doing that immediately.
Yeah, one of my dad's friends, like, was like, hey, because that was part of the deal, right? It was like, you got to get a job.
Yeah.
So if I didn't get a job, like, you got to go back to school for something.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right. And then I got a job. And my dad's buddy was like, you know, we're hiring at, it was the MCC ice rink. It was ESL Sports Center at the time.
Yeah.
And then, I started there when I was 16, or I think I was still 15 when I started.
Driving the Zamboni?
Not at 15. You're supposed to be, you know, a certain age to drive things, but you can kind of do a farm equipment clause in there.
Okay.
So I was 16 driving that. I was driving a Zamboni before I had my driver's license.
So yeah, that sounds very much like when I was a kid where, you know, we had a 50s farm tractor and I don't know, I was probably 13 driving that thing around manual, like no automatic steering. You're steering the thing. You drive, hit a pothole, and it's like jerking you to the side. But it's the kind of thing you do when you're, you know, either living that like farm life or you're, you know, kind of that, you know, Lasky kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did that from 16 years old, call it, until how old am I now? 37. So 33, 34.
Almost 20 years.
Yeah.
Explain what a Zamboni is for people who don't know.
So, ice rink, hockey games. The ice gets scratched up by the skates, obviously. Zamboni has a blade on it on the bottom. Think of like a lawnmower for the ice, but instead of like spinning blades, there's a like paper mill blade on it that shaves the ice, and then you have a system of water that lays new water. For fresh, you know, now you have a fresh glassy sheet of ice.
So it's like smooths it out.
Yeah. So it actually picks up, and that's what the big thing on the front of it is. That's where all the snow goes. All the dirty, nasty snow that people are like, oh, let's go play in it. Don't play in it. Trust me, don't play in it. Like, you've been to a hockey game, I assume?
No.
Have you watched a hockey game?
Yeah.
Have you seen them just spitting on the ice constantly and just blood? And Yeah, don't go play in the Zamboni shavings when you see it.
Like, I'm gonna say, that's so cool. If you went to a game in Philly when he was a kid, there was definitely blood on the ice.
Oh, absolutely. the Broad Street Bullies, right?
But we need to get you to a hockey game. I'm looking at the ice and the glass and stuff when I'm at a hockey game. I'm not even paying attention to the game. Like, I don't enjoy. You see it every day, all day.
Yeah.
Like, when you're in the industry how I was, you're working 80-hour weeks. Like,
wow.
I was management and mechanical. So like I was fixing everything, fixing the machines, the ice rinks, the faucets, the toilets, like everything.
Did you learn how to be the handy on the job, or was it something that you grew
handyman up? Stuff runs in the family.
Runs in the family.
So like, yeah.
So your dad.
I was around stuff from, you know, a tiny, tiny kid.
Yeah.
Just wrenching on stuff. So I grew up with just wrenching on things.
And I remember when we talked about this before, you said not everybody can do this kind of work, right?
It, I mean, you got to be a little bit of crazy because it's low pay. It's not, I don't know. It's like you got to enjoy who you're doing it for or what you're doing it for. Like you're doing it for this team or you're doing it for this group of hundreds of children that come in throughout the week. And it's like that type of stuff. But it's just high pace. A lot of things go wrong. So you have to be like the type of person that can just change what you're doing instantly. Because you may have your day completely planned out, and then all of a sudden you have an emergency 14-hour project right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did you enjoy about it that had you do it for so long? You had to enjoy some part of it.
Freedom. Hmm. It's a job of, like, there's a final task you have to have, right? You have to have that sheet of ice in that arena ready for the fans to come in and the players to go on the ice. However you get it that way, just make sure it's done, right?
Yeah.
So you have the freedom to take your time or rush through it or do whatever you need to do. As long as you get that final task done the way it's expected, you're good. So it gives you time to like develop your own skills.
Does that go back to why you didn't like school? Because you felt like you didn't have that kind of freedom
in
that structure?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I was able to, like, I know someone who graduated over COVID who would have dropped out if she couldn't do her classes online at her own pace.
Wow.
Yeah, she was like 16, same age group I was. And then she ended up graduating when she was 17. So she was able to do her last 3 years of school in like a year and a half.
Damn.
Because it was just at her, however she wanted or needed to do it.
You think you would have been able to do that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So what is it when you look back at school at the time or even school now, because, you know, kids and everything else, what do you see that, you know, for the kids that are like you, right, that are restless, that need something different? Do you see things improving for kids like that? Do you see it still the same, or do you see steps, and where what do you think would need to be changed for kids like you to get the support they actually needed?
It's a mixture, right? Because it's not, I have a nephew who is going to be a sophomore in high school. I have a middle school daughter, and then I have elementary school daughter. So I have all of the ranges right now. When it comes to the educational aspect of it, like, they will help you and make sure you're getting your work, even if you're suspended, make sure you get tutoring. You, like, you can go, even if you're out of school suspension, at least Gates has, you can go back to the school for tutoring between this hour and this hour, and you leave the school, but they make sure you're good. They didn't have that. I mean, I got suspended a few times, and, you know, it was just like, oh, you lost out on this, so now your grade's shit. So, but there's different, they make sure you're going to get through school now.
Yeah.
Like, they are pushing more to get through school with different, like, procedures of, like, just get this done and you'll be good.
Like safety nets.
Yeah. More safety nets. There was way less safety nets when I was dropping out of school. It was more just like, what's wrong with you? Whatever, you know? But now, like, on the elementary level, my younger daughter, she's like me and she's just all over the place. So, they, you know, even like you mentioned ADHD one time and the school's just like, we'll look into it. We'll, you know, deal. We'll just, let's look into it together and go from there. And, but no, there's definitely more safety nets and stuff like that. Now they're definitely more trying to get people to graduate, whether it's for funding or what, I don't know, but at least Gates has, they have a lot more social workers, a lot more counselors, a lot more stuff like that now.
Do you think if your kids felt how you felt, you would give them the same advice that, well, I don't, not that you got the advice, but would you let them do what you did if they felt the same way?
If they had a full-blown plan, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, if you were like, this is how I'm going to make this money, this is how I'm going to support whatever family or whoever I have to support, yeah, go ahead if it makes sense. But like, you're kind of dumb to do it with all these safety nets. So like, just know how hard I had to grind. You see my body now. Mm. If you don't want to have to grind that hard, just, you know, at least get the fucking high school diploma.
Yeah.
So easy. So easy.
Do you regret your decision?
No, not at all. I hung out with some people that I shouldn't have in that time period, and I was not the greatest person from like the age 12 to 16. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Making up for that now. That's.
In what way? Can you elaborate on that?
A bunch of my friends, two of them died in different drug related, and like one was shot up in a car, and then another one OD'd, and then let's see, another one did 7 years in jail, like right out of high school.
Whoa.
And then another one in and out of jail. And then, yeah, so like the whole tighter group of kids I hung out with, like elementary school through middle school, not good.
Damn.
Yeah.
And do you think you getting out of school to do your own thing saved you?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Because I think people would think.
People would think opposite.
The opposite. Yeah.
For sure. Because everyone's like, oh, what happened to Nick?
Yeah.
Like everyone's like, oh, everyone's fine with him. Like, he's cool. It's like, oh, he just works now.
So you needed to get out of that environment to be who you want it to be,
yeah,
in a sense. So let's skip ahead a little bit to your injury. And was that, well, first, what happened?
We'll start at the ending because I was recently diagnosed with connective tissue disorder, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. There's totally different ones, but I have hypermobile. My joints dislocate. So my knee, first time I dislocated my knee, I was 12. Mm. Got major reconstructive surgery around the time I was dropping out of school. That probably played a lot into it too. So I had that, probably dislocated my knee 30, 40 times before that reconstructive surgery. That surgery didn't hold. So I've been dealing with major knee issues my whole life. And then when I first started going out taking photos after I was going through a divorce, I ended up getting an infection in my knee, the same knee that was screwed up. After I finally got it feeling good, like I had one of my meniscus removed and stuff like that. So it was like the pain was good. And then it just exploded my knee. Like my knee swelled up like four times the size it should, negated any surgeries I've had. So.
Because the hypermobility also, doesn't it also affect cartilage?
Yeah,
like your cartilage goes a lot quicker too? Because it's not just the hypermobility.
I have zero cartilage in my left knee.
Yeah, it burns your cartilage right out of all your joints, especially ones that take impact.
Yeah, I haven't gotten an MRI or anything on my right knee because it's like tolerable. I've never like had a full dislocation of my right knee where it like my kneecap literally would go to the side of my leg. And then I would just pop it back in myself because like, at that point, it's like, if I could walk afterwards, nothing's torn bad enough to have to go to the doctor. I'm screwed anyways.
Well, what caused this at 12?
I rollerbladed through a little patch of oil. My brother was like, don't go that way. And then I went that way. And now here we are.
And you've been dealing with that issue your whole life since then?
My entire life.
It's an expensive patch of oil.
A very expensive patch of oil.
God damn, man. Yeah.
The other thing is congenital, though. Like,
yeah, like it would have happened. It could have happened 2 weeks later on a trampoline. It could have happened the next day stepping off a curb. Like, I've literally dislocated my knee just standing in the ocean in the Bahamas.
Wow. So you were born with, like, susceptible to...
Yeah, I always twisted my knees. Like, I played football and stuff, but I was, like, double knee brace, double ankle brace. Like,
So then the Zamboni work... The physicality of it deteriorated that?
Yeah, like through all of those years of just ruining my body on heavy things and just doing things that in hindsight I should have not been doing. Just like not my shoulders, like I could barely lift my arm up. Like you'll see me like fidgeting and like constantly cracking things because like I feel like things are sliding out of place.
So tell us about the fight to get your disability.
Yeah, so basically I just put in, like, because when I got pulled out of work by my doctors,
and
I
that, had to, that was how long ago?
August of 2022.
Okay, so about 4 years ago, almost.
August 22, I think.
And they just said, doctor said, you can't work.
Yeah, yeah, like, or, full, or like,
you can't do this anymore.
Literally, if you look at all of my paperwork from the doctors, like, you wouldn't hire me.
Oh. So it's like when you fill out those applications and they say, can you lift 50 pounds? You're like,
no,
nah.
No, I could lift 15 pounds sometimes.
Yeah.
Like obviously I can lift more than 15 pounds, but like the risk of injury, if I were to take that 30 pound something and have to walk down a couple stairs with it, that risk of my leg giving out isn't worth the, you know, time of day.
Damn.
So like, I can't do stairs. Like, that's part of my limitations. Like, if you want me to do stairs, if part of my job is to like walk around a building and go up and down stairs, which I was doing, I had to maintain and close up buildings at end of nights that are hundreds of thousands of square feet. I can't do that.
Mm.
So it's very, you could do it, but like, then I'd be in pain for a week after. So I would never get to a lower pain threshold.
Damn. Damn. So doctors pull you out 22.
Pull me out 22. It takes 8 months for the first denial, which is pretty standard. 32-year-old male with a knee injury. No other things.
And what's the reason behind their denial? That you're just
too young.
Too young.
You're too young.
You can still work, is what they say.
Yeah. Basically, well, like, you're too young. You're too young to not work.
forget to check the show notes. You'll find more information about today's guests, tips for caring for our feature plant, and a few special links connected to the episode.
Cannabis plant.
Yes, the cannabis plant. The lovely cannabis plant.
And I usually go into a soliloquy about each plant, but since you actually grow this plant, I'm going to let you talk about it a little bit. Well, first, does it help with your condition?
It helps with a lot of conditions if used properly.
Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, anyone can just go smoke a lot of weed and not, like, just go to sleep.
Yeah.
But like, if you're trying to function and you're trying to use it as a painkiller, because I won't use like opiates or anything. I grew up seeing a lot of addiction. Mm. So like,
the doctors try to prescribe you that?
They will. I could get into pain management. I could do all that. But like, I've got the couple of low dose things that I'm on right now that are non-narcotic things, with supplementing different, you know, cannabis products, because it's not just about the THC, especially when it's for pain.
What
you want? Well, you need different. You got to look at like there's different spectrums of cannabinoids. There's different. I mean, you have indica, not cannabinoids, but like the different weed. You have indica, you have sativa, you have hybrid. Everything does its own little thing, right? Now it's trial and error on what you end up enjoying and what works for you and what time of day. But like, I'll, you know, have a nice sativa and then like I can go get some shit done around the house. Yeah. And then like, oh, it's bedtime, let's have a nice indica and like, you know, maybe top it with a little extra like wax or something and, you know, go to bed.
So it's that balance of like, if I'm taking this for pain but like not abusing it to the point where you can't do anything else.
Yeah, I don't want to. You don't want to forget about your problems. You want to be able to work through your problems. A lot of people, especially younger people, will use it just to forget.
Yeah.
No, don't forget. You don't want to forget. Especially when you're too young to forget anything. You haven't learned anything yet.
Yeah. Did you smoke growing up?
No. A couple times. I drank.
Okay.
But a couple times in like high school age, we'll call it. But nothing crazy. I didn't start really smoking and doing edibles and everything until I got my medical card when I was, how old was I? 28. So that was before it was legal in New York.
Okay.
So it was just medical and you had to have.
And that was for the pain specifically?
Yeah. So it was for, Because you have to have like two things. So you have to have, it was pain and neuropathy because like I've recently learned spinal stenosis and a couple vertebrae in my neck. But I get like tingles, like it tingles from here down to my fingers. Like if you had, I mean, you probably think you're having a heart attack sometimes. Cause like just doing this right now, I feel just tingly.
Wow.
Yeah. So like that was my my double qualifying for medical.
Yeah.
And then, I never had to renew it. I never had to renew my medical card because New York State legalized it. And then they allowed where you can grow your own. So I started just learning the hard way, not, you know, I don't like to study.
How does one learn how to grow weed without studying?
It's a plant and people call it weed for a reason. It grows like a weed. It's going to grow even if you like just put water on it. You might not have the best product at the end, but you'll have something like old head weed was terrible. Like now you can get so specific on breeding your own plants down to what you want. I don't know how to do any of that shit, but like I know how to make my garden bed give me some Christmas trees at the end of the year or at the end of the, you know, summer.
Now you said fall. That you think what you grow is comparable to what they have in the dispensaries
in New York dispensaries specifically.
Yeah,
like
because of the conditions
at least for you got to look at price, right? If you're on a budget, like if you're gonna grow, you're growing it because you spend way too much money.
Yeah,
and that's a fact. So, like that's why I started growing. It's like to supplement those in between times
because you're using it as medicine, literally.
Right, literally using it as medicine to supplement my pain management.
Yeah,
and it helps with like I have. Like ADHD type stuff and like it helps calm me down and or amp me up if I need to be amped. I don't know.
Yeah.
Does a lot of things, but like mostly it's that to first I need my body to relax before I can do anything.
Okay.
If my body can't relax, then
your mind is everywhere. Yeah. I mean I even thinking about when like I have a backache or something, it's like I don't want to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that affects everything. So I can only imagine like chronic pain.
Oh, yeah.
Dealing sleep. With it all the time.
Sleep. Yeah. I've had sleep issues my whole life from it. And it's just.
So what's the how long does it take to grow one plant?
If you're doing like outdoor photo plants, when did I get them into the ground? 4 weeks ago, maybe? What is it? End of June now?
It's like mid-June.
I think I'd have been in May or the end of April. It depends on the, like, just regular. It will grow like a regular garden. Tomatoes in our climate, right? They grow very similar. If you can grow a tomato plant, you can grow a weed plant.
That's going to be the quote of this show. If you can grow a tomato, you can grow a
weed plant. Growing, my kids were young and, like, I had them in pots originally, and then like, Dad, what are you growing? Tomatoes.
Because if you look at the leaves, not that dissimilar. Like they have a similarity in some of the stalks and everything else too.
My children don't really like tomatoes, so
that was
even realized like, Dad grows tomatoes and we never eat tomatoes. So yeah.
Do they still think it's tomatoes?
No, they know now. They understand. Okay. Like Dad's outside. Like if Dad's in the garage, like just leave him alone for 10, 15 minutes. Cause like he's medicated. It's garage medicine. Like I start calling it garage medicine for my younger daughter. Yeah.
So one plant gives you how much?
It depends on how big it grows. I grew, I have two plants last year? I had two plants last year and I got, I think a little over... Or a little under 2 pounds.
Okay. How long did it take you to smoke that?
We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to talk about that.
Fair enough. New York allows you not.
I wish it was longer. I wish it was longer. Yeah.
Make sure you subscribe and leave us a rating. It helps more people find the show, but more than that, it helps us keep building this little community around music, plants, wellness, and good conversation. Every listen, every rating, every share helps keep the roots growing.
I joke all the time, like, if you smell icy hot and weed when you're out and about, like, I'm around. Like, it's like, oh, Nick must be here. I smell, there's a little, my nose is burning in different ways.
You can come up with a strain called Icy Hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hilarious, dude. How'd you get into photography?
I've always just like taken pictures. Like, I stole the family Polaroid, always did stuff like that. It really went side to side with car culture because I did a lot of like street racing and stuff in my early 20s, late teens.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people in the car community still. I don't do much car stuff anymore. Just, it's hard to get out and like, it's either you got to do the illegal shit that's late and I'm tired, or you got to do the stuff that everyone else is going to. And then it's like, well, why am I going to go to that if everyone else could go to it too?
Rochester has a car culture?
Rochester has a huge car culture.
Really?
Yeah.
Like racing? Yeah. Or just
racing?
Period.
I mean, it's different. I mean, there's, because you have like the young crowd, which is your typical, like what you can afford, right? Your little four cylinder cars. They've been meeting, so they still race at the same spots that I would have raced at. It's all revolving, same thing. But then like the fast guys would always go somewhere else because it's, you know, there's higher risk, more danger. You're going way faster. It's louder.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot more like street simulated drag racing over the years. Like no prep racing. So it's a lot of the faster, older guys my age do that stuff now, but you'll still find a lot of them on the street. Just that's harder to actually know about because they don't want a crowd. Where the young guys just want to show off, you know, rev their engines, play their music, yeah. Look at my car, like, look at me, I'm doing donuts. I don't like that.
I'm imagining like Fast and Furious in my head, like the first one.
That's how it was when I was that's what stemmed it all for me, was like Fast and Furious.
That movie.
Like that stemmed it for a lot of people. People my age, our age.
So you started taking photos at these gatherings? Is that how
really just like point and shoot stuff. Like I don't have any of those images from like early 2000s. There's stuff floating around from people that I know, but like cell phones were shit. So there was nothing good, but that's the thing. Like that's when it was different. But now you like get in more trouble now because everyone's there with a camera.
Yeah.
So, but I would go drag racing with my cousin. He got into drag racing heavy, go to the track. So I'd go with him, just take pictures of his cars, his friend's cars, just learn how stuff, you know, imagery going down a track at high speeds. Yeah. You got to learn how to use a camera at least a little bit. So yeah, it all kind of came from that. And then when I was going through a divorce, I was just like, I woke up one day and I was just having a shitty day. And I was just like, I'm going to take the camera out. And then I just went for a walk and I was like, this works. And then, you know, then my knee was like, this doesn't work.
How'd it make you feel?
I used it to meet new people, really. So it was like, I know up in fucking Rochester, like there's cameras everywhere. Like there's going to be a photographer, a stone throw away. Like you'll meet some people and like, let's see where life goes. And then apparently I'm a good photographer. So, I met people fast enough, like faster than a lot of people would. And then I'll talk to anyone. I don't care. And I don't care what people think of me. So I'll literally talk to anyone.
Yeah.
And if like, yeah, let's talk and like maybe we'll be friends. And then I met a lot of friends and now we're here. And
how many times do you go out shooting, like would you say, per week?
Not as much anymore as I want to, which has been but like
because of your
at the beginning I was going out multiple times a week.
Yeah. What do you like shooting?
Everything. Literally. Like it depends.
Yeah.
It depends. Like I'm not even like a fashion person, like, but like if you have a dope outfit, I'll take a picture because your outfit's cool. Like if you're driving like a dick and your car's cool, I'm going to probably take a picture of that too. Cause I like that.
Yeah. But
most people might not. I do. Graffiti and, what else? You know, events.
I got one of your pieces, I think it's from Jazz Fest.
Yeah, we traded.
Yeah, we traded
the art swap. Yours is still on my wicker shelf inside my office door under like three like newspaper type things.
When you shoot, do you mix it with the cannabis use? Is that like a go hand in hand?
Yeah. Like if I'm If I'm taking pictures, I mean, if I'm doing anything, I probably had a little bit of cannabis in me. But if I'm out shooting or out on a, like, that's the thing, like a First Friday, right? We all know it's multiple hour type thing, no matter what you do. Even if you go to one place, it's going to take you a couple hours if you're, like, actually, like, networking and doing stuff.
Yeah.
Like I said, after an hour, I'm getting fidgety. I got to do something. So, like, if I can calm my body down, I can hang out longer and then like just a little spark of creativity or a little, you know, appetite booster and a little just, you know, works for everything.
Thank you.
Check the show notes for a playlist featuring lo-fi music from Alo-Fi. You can find more beats on all streaming platforms by searching Alo-Fi. Plants and Beats is produced by Rob Bell with music by Alo-Fi. Subscribe to stay updated Follow Rob Bell and Alufar on social media. The information is in the show description. Peace and blessings. See you next week.